Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.org. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
This morning, each of us have come in with certain things on our minds, with certain things on our hearts. Isn't it great that the past several weeks, we've been talking about the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. And when we sing these songs, when we sing these verses, we don't serve a defeated God. We serve a risen Savior. Sing that out. Know the battle.
And though the battle rages, we will stand in the fight. Though the armies arise up against us on our side, we will not be shaken. We will not be shaken. We will not be shaken.
For in the hour.
Fear is gone. because he
lives. Father God, we sing truth today because you live, because Jesus lives. We can face tomorrow. We sing truth today in each of these songs about hope and joy. It's the theme today, Father. We are reminded of the hope we have in you. It is only found in you. Lord, I pray right now, if there's any one person here that does not know you, if there is one person participating in worship online who does not know you, that today your Holy Spirit right now would begin to work in their heart, that they would know today is a day of salvation for them. That there is absolutely no reason to leave this building or change on the internet what we're watching today without assurance of salvation, knowing for certain that you have brought new life. So God, speak to us today. Lord, we need you now more than ever. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who can do all things. Amen. Amen. Be seated if you will. It's a joy to have you here in the building and to have those that are participating online. This is our final week of our series, Finding Hope in a World Gone Mad. And I hope that you noticed in the songs the theme of hope in Jesus and who he is and what we find in him. Pastor Chuck Swindoll said it best a number of years ago. He said, we can live several weeks without food, several days without water, minutes without oxygen, but without hope, forget it. Without hope, there's no reason in life we can continue. It is so much more important than the physical things we have, but it has physical results. We all need hope. I loved, when I was growing up, we had a Sunday morning routine where I grew up in Huntsville. We attended Jackson Way Baptist Church there. Our service, Sunday school started at 10 o'clock and the service was at 11. So I would get up about 6 a.m. and watch all of my favorite shows. And now listen, I'll start to date myself a little bit. What I was watching on Sunday mornings was The Three Stooges. That's good TV, right? Come on. And then Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea. Is that, anybody remember that show? Okay, good. Some old people in the room. It's good. So you're with me, right? So it's good. It was a wonderful show. But then I would love to take the Huntsville Times, the newspaper. I didn't care anything about the rest of it, but I wanted to see the cartoons. And it was always an extra large spread on Sundays. And so I would take and read through, and I enjoyed that. And one of my favorites always, and still to this day, is Peanuts. Love to read. There's a Peanuts cartoon comic strip, a particular one that says this. It's Snoopy sitting alone thinking, and he says, yesterday I was a dog. Today I'm a dog. Tomorrow I'll probably still be a dog. And then he sighs and lets us know there is so little hope for advancement. Listen, in life, there's little hope for advancement in some ways. Can I tell you that it would be easy right now when you watch the news, when you watch or when you scroll through social media, when you talk to your cousin on the phone, when you talk to your coworker at work, when you talk to your classmate at school, it is easy to talk about all the bad things going on, the difficult places we find ourselves in this mad world, and to quickly say there is so little hope in this world. So we've spent the last month talking about, through the scripture, how we can deal with stress, anxiety, fear. And I would encourage you, if you're here and you missed a week, go back to our website, albervillefbc.church, or if you're watching online, albervillefbc.church, and find those past messages. They're all there under media. They're not hard to locate. You can go back and watch those and catch up with us. For today, we will conclude with the culmination of all this, what's most important, and that is this: we will focus on hope. So if you have your Bible, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And while you're turning, I want to give you a definition of hope. The modern day vernacular definition of hope is this, that it's a wish. It's wishful thinking. We would say things like, I hope we get to have SEC college football later in September. That's a wish. I hope so too, but it's a wish. It's not based on proven fact yet. How about this? I hope it won't rain tonight. That's a nice wish, but it's probably coming. How about this? I hope this donut will not make me fat. You get it? It's a wish. Not likely that that's the case. But the Bible's idea of hope is not the world's idea of hope. Here's a definition if you're writing things down. It's a biblical definition of hope. Hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised. Let me say it again. It's a confident expectation of what God has promised. It's the sure certainty that what God has promised in the Bible is true, that it has occurred or it will occur at some point in the future because God's word is true. We can take it to the bank. If God said it, it will happen or it has happened or it's going to happen. We can rest in that. So in 2 Peter, what we find is a church in trouble. It's not a single church in trouble. It's really multiple churches in trouble. False teachers have shown up. This is just 30 or so years after Jesus came back to life and the early church began. But already there were problems. You ever seen a problem in church? Some of y'all are thinking, I'm going to point to the problem. And don't do that, okay? But I'm not looking at anybody. But what I'm saying is the churches have problems. And they were having them right away. So there were two major problems in 2 Peter. There was the problem of false teachers, people teaching wrong. And persecution was starting to ramp up in a big way. But friends, the church in America is facing some similar issues. False teachers abound in this day and age. I recently read about and then did a little research on an entire group of pastors that have networked together simply because they all agree on one important thing. As pastors, they believe that God's word is fine with this and they are for abortion and they want to promote that among people. Ridiculous. And then there are pastors, and I'm going to be honest, there are some still right here in the buckle of the Bible Belt in the heart of Sand Mountain that sometimes teach very racial things, even from their pulpit. Racism running in this day and age. I listened to a sermon not too long ago of a well-respected, well-known pastor, and it was his Sunday morning message, and the entire message was about American nationalism, and it never once mentioned Jesus. Listen, I love America, but let me tell you something. America's not the hope for the world. Jesus is. I couldn't believe to hear that was happening. And then there are those teachers that will use veiled references in Scripture that they will take and twist to justify their stance on things. And it will be things like unbiblical relationships and on we can go. Well, listen, there's a Greek word in the Scripture for those kinds of teachings. I want to teach it to you. Repeat after me. The Greek word is baloney, baloney. I'm telling you straight up, okay? That spells baloney. If you're watching online, that's spelled bologna, but it's baloney, okay? I understand that that's what it is. And if false teachers aren't causing enough trouble, then we have some very difficult things happening that is beginning of some persecution for the church in America. Now, let me be clear. Don't jump on the bandwagon that the church in America is being persecuted in some huge way. Listen, you need to get outside of America and you'll realize it's minor for us. But it's still there and it's growing. Listen, we've been praying for one of our mission partners in Central Asia. That it's a partnership of ours. And one of their main evangelists went to a town in a neighboring country to share the gospel. And some men found out what he did and lured him to a meeting with them, where he thought he was going to get to share the gospel with him, and instead they took a pipe and beat him senseless, put him in the hospital, broke a number of things on his body. He was in rough shape, and just this last week, even as he's doing much better, and some of us were able to see a picture of him and his recovery, some of our men in this church have gone to this location and ministered with this gentleman. But when the leader of the organization asked him, well, what are we going to do about this city? He said, we have to go back. Listen, so let's not say we're under that type of persecution yet. We're not. But friends, can I tell you that we're beginning to see the rumblings of persecution in our nation? When you look at how the church is being treated in places like California right now, it's scary. When you look at the things that are happening different places in our nation, it is very scary. And I personally believe that persecution is going to continue to grow. And so we need to understand, we have to know what to do in the midst of persecution, what to do in the midst of false teachers. Well, here's the answer. It's simple. This is not difficult. We have to find our hope. We have to find our hope. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Look at what it says. Peter speaking to a troubled church. He says, Jesus, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, verse 4, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. Hear me say this. Our hope is not to avoid persecution. In fact, other places of the world, the gospel flourishes under persecution. It is persecution that is often the air that's needed to fan the flame for the gospel to move forward. So our hope is not to avoid persecution. Our hope is never to run into false teachers. Our hope is found in Jesus. It is true. It is hope in the finished work of Jesus, what he did on the cross. It's hope in the finished work of Jesus. It's hope in the past work of Jesus, hope in the future work of Jesus, and hope in the right now work of Jesus. I love the hymn, I'll Fly Away, but let me tell you something. It kind of promotes the idea, and I do love to sing it, but we have to make sure that it's our faith is not about some glad morning someday. That's a great day where our faith will be perfected, but the truth is it's today. It's this glad morning we can live for Christ. It's not just in the future, it's for today. This past Monday, I traveled to Huntsville, and my brothers and my father, we all spent some time together, had a meal together. It was the one-year anniversary of the passing of my mother, and so we had a meal together, enjoyed some conversation. Then we went by the cemetery, and to see the grave marker, the lovely grave marker of my mother, it was a treat for us to go as a family. It's the first time we've all been together in that particular setting in the past year. We've all been individually, but not together. But I looked at the beautiful start date of my mother's life. It was beautiful. I loved the day she was born. I looked at the end date. It was sad, but beautiful as well, because she had been in so much pain and difficulty. It was a beautiful, good thing when she went home to be with Jesus. And it's one date, and then the other date below it, and right between that little bit of blank space. You see, that blank space, it's where we live out our hope. And I was thinking there when I saw that, I thought, man, I wish we could put right in the middle of the date she was born, in the middle of the date she died, I'd like to put right there in the middle of that, the date she gave her life to the Lord as a young girl, because that's important. And so Lily, I want to tell you, for my grave marker, let's go ahead and get this out for everybody to know. I would like you to put my birthday, the date I gave my life to Jesus, and the date I die. Hopefully not soon. And I want a snowman on there carved on the side. But I'm not kidding, and she knows it. So anyway, it'll be fun when you come to see it. So anyway, but I want that date, that salvation date. Why? Because there's hope. There is hope that's found in this life. It is not just about the day we're born and the day we die. Think about it. Jesus was at work when you were born. Do you realize if you read a number of places in Scripture, Jesus, who is the giver of life, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Jesus had everything in the world to do with you being born. He has everything in the world to do with the day you will leave this earth and go to heaven, and he has everything to do with the day you gave your life to him. And so we celebrate our hope in him. Our hope is not in Jesus fixing our situation. Our hope is not in Jesus solving your problems. Our hope is not in Jesus taking bad things away. Your hope is in Jesus' past work, his future work, and his right now work in you. You see, it's not just about him fixing things. In fact, that's not what he's going to do. Can I tell you, in my 50 years of living almost, and in all of you, and however old you are and how long you've lived, we could all testify to the same thing. Jesus didn't die to take all your problems away, because you've had plenty since you gave your life to him. He died, John 16:33 tells us, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He transforms us and walks through that with us. So the answer is not going to be, Jesus, fix your problem. It's going to be, Jesus, give me hope in my problem. The answer is not going to be, Jesus, take away this pandemic. It's, Jesus, give us hope in the midst of that and wisdom in what to do. The verse, again, it goes back. It says, his divine power has granted to us all, A-L-L, all things that pertain to life and godliness. What does that mean? It means if you know Jesus, if you had the Holy Spirit inside of you, you have already been given everything you need to face anything that comes your way. You have everything you need to face anything that comes your way. And what is that everything? The scripture says it's godliness. God has provided godliness in your life. Paul David Tripp's one of my favorite authors, and he wrote in an Advent devotional called Come Let Us Adore Him. It's a book we're going to give you guys in December, but he wrote in there a definition of godliness. Here's what he said. He said, godliness is living a God-honoring life between the already of my conversion and the not yet of my final homegoing. Let me say it again. Godliness is living a God-honoring life between the already of my conversion and the not yet of my final homegoing. Let me give you some examples. Jesus has power, and Jesus' power has given you, believer, everything you need to show grace to that angry coworker. Do you have an angry coworker? You probably do. Jesus has given you everything you need. His power has given you everything you need to treat your spouse as Christ loved the church. Everything you need, he's given you. Jesus' power has given you everything you need to find peace in the middle of a pandemic, to find joy in the middle of an election cycle, to find grace in the middle of world problems. Jesus' power has given you what you need. But here's the key. Jesus not only gives us godliness, what we need for that, but then he tells us to supplement that work of power in our lives. Look at the next few verses. Verse 5, 2 Peter 1:5. For this reason, because he's already given us what we need, for this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue or goodness, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. So what is Jesus saying? He's saying, I've given you everything you need, the divine nature. You can be a partaker of that. You have godliness in your life, and now supplement that. You take up some steps to strengthen that with virtue, that's goodness, to strengthen it with knowledge, it's the knowledge from God's word. In other words, be in God's word consistently, to supplement that with self-control. That's a daily practice of proactive faith. You will not be self-controlled in a reactive way. You make a decision. It's proactive to be self-controlled. We do it on purpose. We supplement our faith with steadfastness. That's perseverance. It's stick-to-itiveness. It's staying the course, even when the world says don't stay the course. And we supplement it with godliness. It's following the ways of God. So the best way to live out practical faith is to practice it on purpose every day. Now that seems simple. Let me say it again. The best way to live out a practical faith is to practice it on purpose every day. How do you do that? You use these things that we were told, these character traits that we were told to supplement in our life as questions. So this is what I would encourage you to do today in your next problem, your next situation, your next circumstance, tomorrow, in your next difficult moment. Use these questions for just a moment before you make your decision. Ask this, what would, when you think about these supplementing our faith with virtue, with goodness, so stop and ask before you make that next decision, what would a good person do? A good godly person, what would they do? Ask this, what does God's word say to do right now? Whatever decision you've got to make, how you're going to respond to someone, what would God's word say and how to respond? What about this? You stop and ask, is this choice I'm about to make, is it a controlled choice or is it a sporadic, erratic choice? Think about it. Does what I'm about to do show perseverance in God or does it show perseverance in something else? And then at the end of your day, I would encourage you when you lay down in your bed and put your head on the pillow before you fall asleep, real quickly, stop and do an evaluation of your day and ask these questions. Did I do the things a good godly person would do today? And if not, say tomorrow I'm going to supplement my faith better in this way. Did I make decisions today that line up with God's word or did I make decisions that line up with my own thoughts? Ask this as you're laying there. Did I react like God's word tells me to, or did I react in my flesh? And then did I practice self-control or a lack of control with my mouth, with my actions, with my emotions? If we can learn to ask those questions, It helps us to live out this passage in 2 Peter. And again, it's not saying that we're somehow working for our salvation. Please understand that all of this that concerns your part in this process is based off the fact that Jesus has already provided salvation for you. And so now, because he's given you what you need to live a godly life, Peter tells us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we should supplement that in these ways, in a very practical, real way. So if you want hope in a world gone mad, the real basis goes all the way back to verse 4 again. Look one more time. He says, by which Jesus has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in this world because of sinful desire. It says Jesus' divine power has given us the ability to be a partaker. You partake in something, a partaker of the divine nature. This is supernatural involvement in your life. Jesus and the Holy Spirit have supernaturally moved in your life so that in your problems, in your pain, in your circumstance, God is involved. The Holy Spirit is at work. So here's my question for you. I want you to answer it in your own mind. Are you a partaker or a forsaker? You're either partaking of the divine nature or you are forsaking the divine nature for your own dead nature. You are either partaking of God's way or you are forsaking God's way for your own way. There are times, and I'm a confusing person, because there are times in my life, there are certain areas of my life that I'm very self-disciplined in and some that I struggle with. I can do well when it comes to how I react to some of you, but I can just, one of my sons can just punch the right fuse and I'll just go off on them, and I'm a forsaker of the divine nature and a partaker of the Chris Johnson's nature. And Chris Johnson's nature will sometimes blow his stack. I'm just being honest with you. My sons would have testified to that. I don't need an amen from any of you, but they would testify to that. It happens sometimes. Then there are those times that I can partake of the divine nature. And instead, I can stop and be rational in my thoughts and words. But the reality is, it's not Jesus' fault which one of those comes out. It's mine. Am I going to supplement what God has told me he's already done and made a way for in a practical way by living it out in my life, making the wise choice? I hope that I will, that we will be partakers and not forsakers. And the only way to partake is to not forsake the powers and qualities and actions of Jesus in your life. So can I say to you, no matter the circumstance, no matter the pandemic, no matter the political cycle, no matter the problem at work, no matter the difficulty at home, no matter the problem in church, no matter what the case, no matter what's being said about you to you, no matter what's being said behind your back. Listen, friends, we all get that from time to time. No matter what your spouse, if they're going through something difficult and they may be taking it out on you, no matter what's going on in your children's life, if they're in a rebellious stage and you feel like a failure because of it, no matter what the circumstance, I could go on and on just naming random things, no matter what disease has come your way, no matter what health issue has come your way, on and on we could go. The reality is, no matter that, God has already given you, if you're a believer, what you need to partake of the divine nature. And that is the godliness of God at work in your life. It's supernatural. And then he tells us to supplement that with these practical steps that I've shared with you already today. Listen, friends, no matter what comes your way, there is still joy in the morning. There is still hope for the hurting. Jesus is our hope. It has nothing to do with our problems. He is our hope. So whatever problem comes your way, God is giving you an opportunity to display the grace of Jesus, the glory of Jesus, and the hope of Jesus. In 1982, George Bush Sr. was the vice president of our great nation. And in that time, a lot of you will remember, we were dealing with some real difficulties with the Soviet Union. We were dealing with what was ending of the Cold War, but yet there were still all kinds of thoughts and concerns and worries. And it was a pretty interesting day and time to be alive. And for a part of the Soviet Union's horrible communistic atheistic reign, the leader was Leonid Brezhnev. Excuse me, I always want to say that wrong, Brezhnev. And he died in 1982. And we were working on our relations with the Soviet Union and or the form and all that was going on there. And so we sent a political delegation to the funeral service. Now, Ronald Reagan didn't go, but he sent George Bush Sr. along with a couple of others. And George Bush Sr. saw something that happened at that funeral that really impacted him. And in fact, some of you will remember this because the next couple of years, as he was campaigning for president, he would often speak about this very thing that I'm going to describe to you on the campaign trail. It became a topic he talked about a lot when he was talking about his own personal faith. So I want to read to you what he said. At the funeral for Brezhnev, Brezhnev's wife was right there on the front row, and it was a typical, what you would picture for a communist, atheist funeral. It was a hard, difficult moment, and he sat and watched her in this setting. And I'll just give it to you in his own words. He says, Mr. Brezhnev's wife stood motionless by the coffin until just seconds before it closed. Then, just as the soldiers touched the lid, Brezhnev's wife performed an act of great courage and hope, a gesture that must surely rank as one of the most profound acts of civil disobedience ever committed. She reached down and onto the chest of her husband in that coffin, she made the sign of the cross. And there in the citadel, this is his words, in the citadel of secular atheistic power, the wife of the man who had run it all hoped that her husband had been wrong. She hoped that there was another life, and that that life was best represented by Jesus who died on the cross, and that that same Jesus might yet have mercy on her husband. It's a powerful story. And so as this woman makes the sign of the cross on the chest of her husband in that coffin, the one who had taught their entire series of nations that they had to be atheists. Friends, can I share something with you? That's a touching and powerful story. But please hear me say this. There is hope beyond the grave, but it is only found on this side of the grave. Her hope for Brezhnev was lost. Now, hope for herself still existed. And she lived a number of more years, and I hope she gave her life to Jesus. I don't know. That was at least a start of what God was trying to do in her life, I believe. But here's the reality. Once we are dead, it is everlasting too late. If you're watching online right now, or if you're in this room, please hear me say this. Today is the day of salvation. You cannot give your life to Jesus after you die. The scripture is clear. God says in his word, very specifically, that it is appointed for man once to die and then to face the judgment. There will be no way to come back and live a while longer and then give your life to Jesus. And contrary to what some of our friends might tell us, there's no way that somebody can pray you out of hell. It doesn't happen that way. We give our lives to Jesus while we have the opportunity on this earth, or we spend eternity separated from him forever. Now, I'm thankful that my mom many years ago gave her life to Jesus. And I'm thankful now as I saw that grave marker this week that I remembered there's hope beyond the grave. It's sure hope, blessed hope, not wish so hope. It's real hope. She's with Jesus. I'm thankful for the blessed hope that Terry Chandler has today. It's not hope based off of I hope he knew the Lord, I wish he knew the Lord. It's hope based off of he proclaimed that he had Jesus in his life and he went from suffering to freedom in moments last night. There's hope beyond the grave. But friends, that hope must be consummated on this side of the grave. So if you've never given your life to Jesus, today's the day. If you're here or if you're watching online, can I say to you, if you're not certain you have the Lord in your life, he is the one who will transform you. Right now, stop and just say, Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, right now, in this moment, I need you. I need you to bring me salvation. The scripture says that we are to repent. To repent means to change your mind and to change your ways. So it's me saying, God, I can't do this on my own. I repent. I need you. If you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, please do so right now. stop listening to everything else I'm saying. And for just a moment, you talk to God while I keep talking. Give him your life. Confess that. It doesn't matter if you've walked down the aisle and met the pastor. Have you ever met the master? It doesn't matter if you've ever hopped up into a baptistry pool and been dunked and got wet. That's wonderful and awesome. But let me tell you what, that's just mud water. That's not holy water. And you can do that, and it's wonderful, and you should. But if you've never met Jesus, you've just gotten wet. It's important that you come to understand we need Jesus to bring salvation. And then let's follow through with believers' baptism. And then let's come and unite with the church. That's wonderful and awesome. But we need Jesus. And so if you've never given your life to him, please do so right now. If you are at home and you are doing so, I need to know that you've done that. I'm not going to embarrass you or point you out. I'm not even going to know who you are until later today. And I'm not coming to your house. I'm not going to ask for your address. But I want to text with you. So here's what we'd like you to do. If you are at home participating and you just prayed or you want to pray to give your life to the Lord, I want you to text the word Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, to 256-322-6100. And when you do that, it's going to ask you two questions. And then it's going to get me your phone number. And we're going to talk this afternoon. I would love to text with you. I'm not going to show up. And we'll talk about that. If you're in this room, you can text that number if you want. But all you have to do right now is just give your life to Jesus at this moment. Come see me when we're done. Let's talk together about that and what God is up to. But for the rest of us who have found our hope in Jesus, can I tell you? That hope doesn't start beyond the grave. It doesn't. It starts right now. The day you gave your life to Jesus. If we were only going to find hope in heaven, then it would be a cruel joke that God would allow any of us to live past the day of salvation. But he does. Why? Because he wants us to declare his grace, declare his goodness, worship him, get to know him better, share his goodness with others. We can live our lives now, no matter what the circumstance. If you are living alone and isolated right now, there's hope. If you are struggling in a difficult job as an essential worker, doing some difficult things right now, and it brings some fear and apprehension, there's hope. If you are someone that's dealing with the problem of health or dealing with a concern or an issue or a financial issue, there's hope. If you're watching the news and you end up scared, irritated, or agitated when it's over, there's hope. Joy still comes in the morning. Hope still walks with the hurting. I'm going to invite our worship team to come back up. We're going to sing a song that we have been singing together now since Easter. It's called Alive and Breathing. Would everybody in the room, and if you're at home, do this with me. Everyone, just take a real deep breath and then let it out. Doesn't that feel good? Let's do it one more time. Ready? See, now usually the doctor makes you do that. We're not going to charge anything for that today. But can I tell you that if you could do that, if you could breathe, if you're alive and breathing, there's hope. And you aren't just the one who receives the hope. You get to give hope because of Jesus in you. Joy still comes in the morning. Hope still walks with the hurting. So we can praise the Lord. So our invitation today is not to come get on our knees. Our invitation is to stand and raise our voice and lift our hands and sing, praise the Lord. Joy still comes in the morning. I'll come back and close us out in a minute, but for now, would you stand with us and let's sing this song together.
Withhold your heart and stir your soul. What matters come to mind? The cares you keep, the thoughts you think. It's not all wasted time. Seeking you will find.
Come on, folks, let's lift this together. Joy comes in the morning.
Joy still comes in the morning. Hope still walks with the hurting. If you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing. Still good news worth repeating. So lift your head and keep singing. Praise the Lord. The years roll by. We wonder why. We lost our way from home. hope still walks with the hurting. If you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming. Still good news worth repeating. So lift your hand and keep singing. Praise the Lord.
Joy still
comes in the morning. Hope still walks with the hurting. If you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming. There's still good news worth repeating. So lift your hand and keep singing. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord this morning. We praise Him. We praise the Lord. I hope that that will not just be an anthem as you leave the service, you hum as you leave, but that it can be your story today, this week, that joy still comes in the morning, hope still walks with the hurting. Because we're alive and breathing, we can praise the Lord. He gives us hope, hope in a world gone mad. It doesn't really matter what the world's doing. We have hope in Jesus. So I encourage you to share that grace with others today. Three quick announcements before we go as you're standing. First of all, we have a children's event that's coming up in 3 Sundays, in 3 weekends from now, the third weekend of September. On Saturday morning, there'll be one session, and on Sunday evening, there'll be late afternoon, another session. It'll be a socially distanced children's and families event where you as a family can come. We'll place you at one table together, and the kids are making tie-dye T-shirts, and there'll be T-shirts that kind of go with their school colors, whatever school they go to. So we need you to register so we can have T-shirt sizes, so that we'll have to limit the number in each session to around 20 families at each one. So we need you to sign up. If you're participating with us online, you go to albertvillefbc.church/tiedye. That's T-I-E-D-Y-E. That's what I'm told by English teachers is how you spell that. So you can go there and sign up. It's really easy. If you're in the room, hop out, pull out your phone and sign up. We want you to participate. Miss Pam has a great day planned. There'll be 2 sessions for that, about 1.5 hours long. Secondly, for those in this room, your Sunday school material, we start new curriculum next Sunday. So if you've not picked that up yet, down in the venue, below the atrium in the venue, there will be someone there ready to hand you your material. You won't have to pick through all of it. They'll hand you exactly what book you need, and you can have that whether you're participating in person or doing it on your own or participating online. We have our newly renovated children's and some extra adult area that has just been completed. We've still got a few little things to do here or there, but the rooms are where we can use the adult rooms. So there's some other Sunday school classes. If you'd like to go ahead and begin meeting, we've got 3 more rooms that are big enough to socially distance in. Come see me. We'll make that happen to get you started as well. There are currently 4 classes meeting in person and a couple online. So we'd love for you to participate in one of those socially distanced ways. We'll make sure that it's a good way for you. And then lastly, our offering boxes are at the back door. And if you are participating online, you can give by going to albertvillefbc.church. The link will show up on the Facebook Live feed. If you're on the website, it's right below where you're watching right now. And so I'd encourage you to be faithful to give. To our folks, thank you for giving. Our budget year ends August the 31st. That's tomorrow. So thank you for your generosity over the last 12 months. And we'll start fresh and clean next month. We've been able to make a difference in kingdom purposes all around the world. And we're thankful for that. Thank you for giving. Please continue to be faithful to do so. If you're a guest, Brent, our student pastor, will be back at the welcome desk, but I'll be back at the back door. I'd love to make sure we hand you a gift and get your information if we can. So thank you so much for coming and participating. I'm going to ask Don if you will say our closing prayer, and then if you guys will just play us out as we leave. All right? Thank you very much for being with us today.
Pray, church. Father God, we are so grateful to you. We're so grateful for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We are so thankful, grateful for the blood that was shed. God, thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you, God, that it is a free gift, God, to us. Lord, I pray that if someone is here or someone that's online, Father, that has not received that gift, God, I pray that they don't delay, that they don't waste a second, that they come to know you today. Father God, be with us as we go out. And as we are still alive and breathing this morning, that we praise the Lord. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.